Good morning. I'm glad to see that I have a friendly crowd out there because I'm not used to doing this kind of speaking. Last spring, an invitation went out to the members of the UUC of Nashua community to volunteer to lead Sunday services. I took that invitation as a call to gather my thoughts about peace and share them, thus giving me an incentive to just stop thinking about peace and do something about it. Well, Hurricane Irene intervened in August, but Steve invited me to step up today. So I'm going to talk a bit about my personal journey towards understanding peace and where it's taking me. My story begins in January of 2007, when I attended a retreat called Living a Legacy of Love as part of a coach training program. Toward the end of the retreat, we were each asked to stand and tell the group our personal answer to what makes us tick. I'd been thinking about this for years, coming up with various answers, and none of the answers seemed quite right, though I felt I was getting closer. My first attempt that day at answering this just didn't seem all that heartfelt, and my comrades called me on it. After several more attempts, I finally declared, "What makes me tick is being a joyful, powerful wizard of peace in the world." It was clear to me and to the group that this was an answer that was truly from my heart. It has been the only answer that after nearly 5 years, I can easily state without thinking about it. Okay, so what now? I'd certainly been seeking personal peace for most of my life, as many people do. Being a joyful, powerful wizard of peace in the world sounded good and felt right, but what did it really mean? Of course, being me, I did a lot of reading and research. Ueshiba, also known as O-sensei, who founded the martial art of Aikido, called it the art of peace and spoke of practicing the art of peace in a vibrant and joyful manner. Aikido aims to harmonize energy with that of a partner or opponent in order to achieve both physical and emotional mastery through peaceful resolution. Often people who want peace are so serious about it. I felt intuitively that fun and joy were part of growing peace. I've noticed that taking myself and events too seriously will take me off center, and I'm less able to think and act from peace. Joy, fun, and lightness of being may be critical to peace. Music and art also have the ability to help bring us together. Can peace be powerful? From my research, the answer is yes. There is a difference between power and force. Power gives life and energy. Force takes these away. I found that what people call power often is more likely force. The 2010 UUA Statement of Conscience on Peace says, "Preventing war and creating nonviolent alternatives require the use of cooperative power, power with, not power over. Cooperative power is grounded in a commitment to mutual persuasion rather than coercion." So what does being a wizard mean? The usual definition is one who practices magic or a skilled or clever person. While I'd love to fit those definitions relative to peace, I've got a lot to learn and a long journey to get there. However, I have learned some other ways to look at being a wizard. My intention to be a wizard of peace means to me, I choose to live in my higher self. I am the eye of the storm, I stay calm and centered, regardless of anything. I live in the present, here and now. I accept and utilize what is, that is current reality. I am comfortable with chaos, ambiguity, and the unknown. I act, then attract. I leave space for magic to occur. I am connected to everything, and everything is connected to me. I focus on what I want, not on what I don't want. I support others and allow others to support me. Don't get me wrong, these are my intentions, not always my reality. I ask you all to remind me if you notice that I'm not living up to my intentions. Next, and most important, of course, is peace. One definition of peace is a state of trust, harmony, and mutual understanding. When I started reading about peace, I was interested to find that many of the writings that were listed under peace in the library and online were actually about war or about being anti-war. Yet the more I read about how the brain functions, the more that I believed that focusing on war, even while being anti-war, keeps the brain in a pattern that tends to create war. The way we speak and interact influences our brain patterns. Yet peace does not mean there is no conflict. No conflict would mean we all think alike about all things and do everything the same way. Wouldn't that be a boring and limited world? Thomas Crum says in his book, The Magic of Conflict, distress in humans is caused by how we respond to the conflict between the way it is and the way we want it to be. Instead of focusing on the gap, the key is to focus on building a bridge. He also says when we treat conflict as a dance, the pressure makes for a useful dancing partner rather than a distress producer. Diversity is necessary for growth. I desire peace, not stagnation. I like to think of a chorus where each person's and each nation's music is unique and necessary to the beauty of the song. It's clear that no one person can solve the challenge of peace in the world. I wanted to choose how I might be most effective. So I also spent some time thinking about the conditions necessary for peace and the conditions supporting peace. At first, there seemed to be many necessary conditions. Health, which requires clean air, safe and adequate water, adequate clothing and shelter, and healthy food. Economic opportunity, which requires education and supportive laws. Sustainable development that cares for the environment. But as I looked more deeply, I asked myself, would it be possible to have peace without meeting those conditions? What would it take? Certainly, peace is intertangled with all of these things, with homelessness and lack of food, for example. Certainly, it would be easier to have peace when we solve these challenges. However, I believe that it is possible to have peace even before we solve the other challenges, and that having peace makes it easier to solve the others. Obviously, if we spend on war, we have less to spend on other things. So I asked again, what would it take? One answer is healthy communication that respects and values, not just tolerates. All viewpoints and always seeks the welfare of all beings. Using words that help, not hurt. Talking with people rather than to people. Using both and thinking rather than either or thinking. Part of this requires a belief in the worth and dignity of each human being, one of our UU principles. And I found several techniques that would facilitate this, including compassionate communication, also known as nonviolent communication. Part of this is also seeing each person as a person rather than an object. It's all too easy to dehumanize people as other and see them as enemies, especially when we can now destroy them without ever seeing their faces. However, I came to the conclusion that the most basic requirement for peace is that anything we say or do must come from a heart in the right place. A heart at peace versus a heart at war. Tools, techniques, and actions mean little without a heart in the right place. As Paul Ferrini said, "The choice between love and fear is made every moment in our hearts and minds. That is where the peace process begins. Without peace within, peace in the world is an empty wish. Like love, peace is extended. It cannot be brought from the world to the heart. It must be brought from each heart to another, and thus to all mankind." So, as a translation from Bhagavad Gita says, "Established in being, perform action." I believe that the journey of exploration has brought me here. When I first came to the UUC of Nashua, I was pleased to see the peace pole planted in front. I've since discovered that there have been many UUC members who have been working toward peace. I don't know many of you personally yet. I look forward to meeting all of you and learning more about what has already been done. I've also discovered that peacemaking was the 2006 through 2010 congregational study action issue of the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations. The UUA has developed a lot of resources around peace, which I look forward to learning more about. It is said that Mother Teresa remarked, "People asked me why I don't join the anti-war movement. And I say, I will join when you can show me a pro-peace movement. I've joined our social justice committee with the intention to be a positive catalyst for peace. I invite you all to join with me in growing peace in whatever way feels right to you. From growing your heart at peace to being a joyful, powerful wizard of peace in the world." As you're thinking about it, I'd like you to consider this story from New Fables, "Just Thus Spoke the Caribou" by Kurt Cowder. "Tell me the weight of a snowflake," a small bird asked a wild dove. "Nothing more than nothing," was the answer. "In that case, I must tell you a marvelous story," the bird said. "I sat on the branch of a fir close to its trunk when it began to snow. Not heavily, not a raging blizzard. No, just like in a dream, without any violence. Since I did not have anything better to do, I counted the snowflakes settling on the twigs and needles of my branch. Their number was exactly 3,741,952. When the 3,741,953rd dropped onto the branch, nothing more than nothing, as you say, the branch broke off." Having said that, the bird flew away. The dove, since Noah's time and authority on the matter, thought about the story for a while and finally said to herself, "Perhaps there is only one person's voice lacking for peace to come to the world. Add your heart and voice. Let's plant the seeds of peace together."